Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Behind the back, hesitation move on Looney, steps in, throws it out to Thompson. Contested three above the break is good for Klay Thompson. And he's got 14 points. He's made four threes. And the Warriors are down by 10 again.
Tim, you've made four threes.
Unbelievable.
Now, back to
Will and Divvy
on 95.7 The Game.
Holy cannoli, that was crazy.
Holy cannoli, that was crazy.
I love Klay Thompson. There's just something awkward about a lot of the stuff that he does. This is not me. I'm not criticizing, but that was just like when he's like pumping his fist out there by himself, like well aft, and everybody's already gone. Great. I mean, I'm sure this is very emotional for him. The whole process, I totally get it. It's also just, he's just a unique bird, man.
Yeah.
I guess that's how I could sum it up. He's a unique bird.
No doubt. And I love the story he told about the off day before the game where he just went over into Oakland and went by his old house, went to his buddy's house, and went down to some of the old spots that he used to check out.
Drove by Oracle, he
exactly.
said. Exactly. Yeah.
It's very on brand for Klay where it's an off day and he just wants to kind of reminisce on the days that he had in Oakland.
He said that it was much easier without people wearing captain's hats.
Oh, to end the game, yeah.
Yes.
Well, and the emotion and all of the rigmarole and the pomp and circumstance. I mean, we did a Klay carnival. We did a live show on the plaza and everybody in hats and we're tipping the hat and the employees are all, feting him on his way in the building. Last night was just about basketball.
Dude, people don't know this because it's radio, but like 7 feet to your right, still sits today this huge life-size poster board of Klay Thompson in his captain's hat that like hundreds upon hundreds of Warrior fans stop by to sign to send him messages. I would imagine that someday we're going to try to, I don't know, send this to the Mavericks or something. I have no idea.
We're looking for an envelope big enough to accommodate that right now. So that's the holdup right now.
It's not the time to send it. It's the holidays and the post office is moving slow. But anyway, that's what it looked like a month ago. And then this was just like, a basketball game.
Right. Yeah. And it was an unexpected game because of the NBA Cup. The NBA Cup loss for both teams. And then you pop this one on the schedule and boom, all of a sudden it's Klay homecoming 2.0.
I just think the more we've been sitting here talking about this, and Mike Dunleavy says we're trying to maximize the window of Steph, Klay, and Steve. And we do want to chat a little bit about the fact that he included Steve in that thought. To me, I'm in on that. And not because I believe the Warriors are a player away from contention or whatever. My contention is this. I think we overstate what the Warriors have going into the future. And I want to try to do that without making it sound like I'm taking shots at Kuminga or Moody or Pajemski. They're all young players. Have we seen their best stuff? I'd argue no. But the bottom line for me is there's no way around this in the NBA. When you have stars and they have success, when they leave, you start over. You just do. You have to start over. And so the Warriors are going to be, in my opinion, starting over in a couple of years. And Jonathan Kuminga, Brandon Pajemski, and Moses Moody collectively add up to the same thing as if you had no players at all. You are not, you like, they are not the centerpieces of anything special. You're still a lottery team. So again, it doesn't mean they're not good, but I'm willing to dance with those ideas so that you can try to be good this year.
Yeah, I think that is an overstatement, and you were a lottery team last year with those players and also with Steph, Clay, and Draymond. So it's not as easy as, well, you got stars, so now you're not a lottery team, and you have those guys, and so you are a lottery team because you were a lottery team last year.
Yeah,
there's no way to escape the reality.
There's no way to escape it, but I can have
a reality team.
No, but I can have a conversation with you about that, and you know exactly that Draymond was suspended for a portion of the year. Andrew was not himself, and this team last year that didn't fit is the same team this year that it doesn't fit.
Well, this team is completely different than last year.
So it's time to quit.
This team is completely different than last year's team. Last year you had Dario Saric, and this year you've got Slow-mo, you've got Buddy, now you got Dennis Schroeder.
But there are fundamental similarities, which is Jonathan Kuminga and Draymond Green are still both best suited to be the four. And there's only one four. And so Draymond Green can no longer be the five for the majority of games. It's too exhausting. It'll wear him down. It'll get him hurt. And Jonathan Kuminga is not the three. And so what do you do? That was the case at the end of last year. It's still the case now. And to me, if you can address it responsibly, I would.
Yeah, see, I would address it responsibly. That's different than going out there and trading multiple first-round picks and trying to trade your young core. And I disagree with what you said, and you've said it a bunch already, about how you have nothing or you're a lottery team with those guys as your core. I think that Jonathan Kuminga, what he continues to show me is that he's getting better. He's getting more assertive and more comfortable as an offensive player. And I don't know if he'll ever be an all-star, but if he's your second-best player, you can be a very good team. Mm. And I look at the future of Jonathan Kuminga at 22 in year four, really year five of organized basketball, if you count his 1 year in the G League. And, you know, Steph played 3 years of college, Clay the same, Draymond played four, TJD played more, 4 or 5 years. These are more ready-made players by the time they came in. So I'm willing to be more patient with Jonathan Kuminga and allow him the grace to continue to get better at 22.
I do want to let you know, when you say that, I'm not here to tell you you're wrong. I'm here to tell you that Steph and Dre are telling you you're wrong.
Of course, because they're not going to be here. By the time Jonathan Kuminga is his best player, the best that he's going to be, by the time that is, neither one of them is going to be in the association.
And there's your conundrum.
And well, it's not a conundrum for the organization. It is for them. Those two.
Yes.
And those two are not the organization.
Well,
memo to Steph and Dre, you are not the organization.
Then I'd argue you should be trading them.
Well, you'll never trade Steph Curry.
Well,
that's a net negative from a business standpoint. I mean, what are we even talking about?
Then you're spinning your wheels doing nothing.
You're making money as an organization, and you're putting out a competitive product that fans want to go see.
I don't know that they need to worry about making money.
Product, right?
Joe Lacob will tell you straight to your face, that's not, like, he wants to win.
Of course.
He wants to win. He's not here to make money. They're fine with money. They're going to make money. Let's get David in San Mateo. Hey, David, thanks for calling.
Hey, great show, guys. First time caller, long time listener.
Thanks,
and
David.
I really agree with what Dibs said earlier. I've been a season ticket holder since the early 80s, and the last word you mentioned was entertainment. I have a partner that we split the games with. Long story short, he went to the game and said, you know, yesterday's game was the most entertaining game he's seen in a long time, win, lose, or draw. And I would say, as two gentlemen that are approaching their mid-60s, we've seen it all. And I'm to the fact, it may not be a popular opinion by people, but I'm to a point to use your assets, if that means Curry and whoever, and let them go somewhere like Clay, where he didn't work up a sweat, stands in the corner, is drilling threes, versus Curry running all over the place, one ankle sprain away from this decision, the season being challenging. At this point, I don't want to leverage everything. I want an entertainment product. And I use the example, I've been a vice president of sales for several years for a Fortune 50 company. And I'm continually looking each year for top talent to challenge the folks that we've had on our team here, make people feel just a tad bit uncomfortable to be on their game. And we keep talking about these two all-stars. We're talking about things that have been in the past. They're great players now, but they can't play the whole season. There's a lot of things that you're seeing in signs. So for me, as a longtime season ticket holder, I look at it as an organization where you got to continue to grow, you got to continue to bring quality people in, and to eliminate everybody that has an opportunity to perform, like a Jonathan Kuminga, for people that are aging that just can't get it done anymore. And you go look at, they had three people that could finish the game yesterday. And the Warriors don't have any way to get an easy basket.
So, I want to ask you a question, because this is interesting. If you're running an organization and that's how you feel, and you do have these established, long-time, successful employees, and you want to run it the way that you're describing, what do you do if those very well-established, superstar employees come to you and go, you know what, that doesn't fit with what I want to do. I'd like to go.
Then I think it's a mutual decision to find an opportunity for them,
okay,
that they're happy and that we all find a win-win situation for everybody. Those three all-stars, including Clay as well, they had to get their opportunity. They had to replace David Lee with Draymond. It's time for a new group of people to come in and make their mark. Why not let Steph go to a situation where it's going to get us some draft picks, get some people? This is a product. This is an entertainment product. And the last thing I'm going to say is we don't owe Steph Curry or anybody else to get some superstar, as Dib said, which is not going to make a difference. That guy's life is tremendous, and he's so happy. He's got so many things to look forward to when he's in his 40s and 50s. Why take a product and just disintegrate the quality of it?
Like, David, I get it. I completely get it. And here's where I'll give David kind of a nod. If that's how you feel, I get it. It's a minority opinion. To me, what you can't do is do both, which I kind of feel like might be your stance. We have got to hold our assets for the future. Oh, but we also have to hold Steph and Dre. I think Steph and Dre would disagree with you. I think they would disagree with it. To me, you got to pick one or the other. We're sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's keep talking it out. How aggressive do you want to be with the remainder of Steph Curry's career? And if you're not going to go for it now, what do you say to Steph? 888-957-9570. We keep taking your calls. Doc Pandia on Dre Greenlaw and more, 45 minutes away. Willard and Dibs.
Curry is okay. Circles back for the ball. Comes down the left wing. Behind the back dribble of traffic. Not a good idea. Stolen by Lively. Irving comes up with it. On the bounce over to Doncic. Snaps off a pass to Klay Thompson. Loads up a three, and it's money.
Boy, that hurt.
Yep.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Wow, that one hurt.
I mean,
yep.
The entire call, first of all, Tim Roy, like, he could feel it. He sounded annoyed through the whole call because he knew how that was going to end. And then it did. And there's Tommy with a, oof, well, hey, ow, okay. So, yeah, that's how that whole game felt. Every possession, you're like, I don't like where this is going. And speaking of I don't like where this is going, can we bring something back?
Sure.
July 18th, Joe Lacob at the Summer League on ESPN talking about pods.
He was a revelation, to be quite honest. I mean, he's one of the, all rookie team top five in the league. He started a whole bunch of games for us. Steve had troubles getting him off the floor. I mean, he had to have him on the floor. He was so good. He does so many things well. He's ultra confident. He's got an NBA body. He can get wherever he wants. He's, he obviously can shoot threes. He can drive. He can pass. I mean, what can he do? We're really excited. We think we've got a future all-star.
Ooh. Whoop.
It's high praise. It's high praise.
Well,
that was,
go ahead.
You know, during a time where, and you always want to keep a player's value high in case you
for sure
are looking to make a trade. And that was during the marketing season where, and Paul George, and, you know, you're looking to maybe make a big offseason splash. And so you want to keep a player's value high. I agree with everything he said, other than future all-star. That felt like a little bit of a stretch. And also, he can do everything, including shoot the three, because that's the one thing he can't do right now. I do look at his overall game, and I'm not as triggered as everyone else.
No,
I think that he contributes in many, many very valuable and great ways.
He does.
It's the one thing, and I watch him shoot, and it just, it's a little bit of a cringe for me. The way he shoots, his form, it's part shot put, part chuck. It's not a very beautiful, fluid stroke, and now it's not going in.
But you're talking about the way he shoots the three, and I'd argue that we could have a conversation about the way he shoots the two also. Like I
and
just
the way
don't,
he shoots the one.
Yeah, I don't think he's a scorer. I don't think he's a scorer, at least not right now. And I'm not off on his future. I'm not saying that he's not going to be this, that, or the other. But my God, if what you're saying is he's the linchpin, like, we're not going to do a deal because Brandon Pajemski, get out of here. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
Yeah, and what, thank you.
You're welcome.
What really kind of grabs my attention from that comment?
Get out of here.
Thank you, Kurt. So Steve Kerr referenced it a couple weeks ago. Everyone's like, Brandon's pressing. Brandon is pressing, and Steve said to us a couple weeks ago, Grandy, it might have been the day that you were in for dibs, and we were talking to Steve, and he said, look, I don't know if he's pressing or if he's trying to live up to Joe's comments, and then he just kind of rolled through a bunch of other things, and I was just thinking about that again. Now, 2 weeks later, I'm like, you know what? I bet Steve wasn't thrilled that Joe Lacob said that into a microphone after the kid's rookie year. We think he's a future all-star. Because now the kid is walking around either with that thought in his head or trying to prove it. He's trying to prove it correct. And once told us he wanted to be the future face of the Warriors. And so everyone, this is what happens. Oh, he's pressing. Maybe he's pressing. Maybe he's not as good as everyone thought he was going to be. How about that?
Yeah, possibly.
I mean,
it's just, I don't know. You look at what he does and what he does well, a lot of that doesn't show up on the box score. And last year, I think he was number one on the team in plus minus for the year, which tells me when he's on the court, the team does better than when he's off the court. Now, this year, it's been a little bit different, partly because his scoring has dropped off. His shooting is really off, 25% from three, which is completely unacceptable. But the rebounding is still there. The passing is still solid. He'll take a charge. He'll defend. He's a good glue guy. My issue with this team, and this is why I said this a couple weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, when I said that they were in real trouble, I do think that they have too many glue guys, too much glue, not enough paper. Like GP2, glue guy. Kevon Looney, glue guy. Pods is really much more of a glue guy. You know, Kyle Anderson,
glue guy.
Glue guy.
Yep.
So, and then you look at your scorers, Buddy Hield slumping. Andrew Wiggins needs to, and maybe once an hour we go out of our way to at least spend 8 seconds on how great he's been, because he's been great. There's your 8 seconds on Andrew Wiggins. Yeah. I think he's having a fantastic year. But
it's not enough.
It's not enough.
It's not enough.
You've got too many glue guys and not enough real offensive scoring basketball players.
So it was back on December 4th, okay, that Steve Kerr came on our show and said this when we were talking about
I was off that day, yeah.
Brandon had a really good rookie year, came into his second year, and he's thinking, you know, I got to do this, I got to do that. And he's just lost a little focus on what actually wins. And, you know, for example, the fouling, the 2 3-point shooters, we can't do that. We've talked about this from day one of camp. Fouling jump shooters it leads to losses. It really does. I mean, you can see that stat in the league. You can feel it. Not just the free points. It's having to take the ball out of the net. It's getting to the bonus earlier. So, you know, I think Brandon's trying too hard. I mentioned that in the press conference, too. He's trying so hard to make a great play every time. And you can't do that. You can't play that way. So maybe he's just trying to justify everything from last year or Joe's comments or whatever. I don't know, but it's all part of it. So I'm not concerned about it at all. I just want him to understand that we've got to speed up this process of growth as it relates to what wins games and what we need from him. And that's part of what's happening right now.
So there it is. I don't know if he's trying to justify what happened last year or Joe's comments. And this is just me kind of guessing. I bet that Steve Kerr's not thrilled that comment was made, because it was kind of unnecessary, to be honest with you.
It was a little excessive.
Yeah, it's not like, I don't know who gets helped by that.
Well, Brandon does. Brandon's confidence.
I don't, or maybe not. Maybe he's running around trying to prove something that perhaps he doesn't need to prove.
And I think that at the time, and that was back in July, Summer League, at the time that maybe helps to elevate Brandon's trade value as they were shopping everyone. And I don't, you know, a lot of reports came in that he was maybe untouchable, or it was a sticking point in some deals. And, you know, you had Kuminga and you had Pods and you had Moody, and it seemed like Moody was going to get traded, and then he didn't, and he got extended. And so a lot of the stuff we hear is just conjecture, but this comes right from the owner, and he is super high on Pods. And yet, you know, this year it hasn't really been as great. I will point this out. He's 8-for-20 from three over the last five games, 40%. So okay, that's actually, it's trending toward the right direction. And I know it's a small sample,
yeah,
but over the last five, shooting it a little bit better. And, you know, that just points out, though, how bad it was before. If you're just now up to 25% off of five really good shooting games, that tells me that you were down in the low 20s.
I would like to say this right now.
You're allowed to. You have a microphone, and your name appears first on the marquee.
I would like to say this. I would like for it not to come off a certain way.
Well, that you can't control.
No, I can't. But I can qualify it and give it a shot. Shoot my shot. It's all I got.
It's all you got.
Show's not over yet. I don't care what any owner thinks about a player.
You hear that, Joe?
I don't care. I don't like, you said maybe that helps trade value. Is there any general manager in the league who's looking at a player going, I don't really love the guy, but the owner said he's a future all-star, so
we got to have him.
I'm in.
We got to get him.
What kind of moronic GM would that be?
Well, there are some out there.
Like, look at Jarrah Jones in Dallas. How we doing with the owner weighing in on all the players all the time?
Well, he does more than weigh in. He actually calls the shots.
So, again, I'm not saying Joe's doing anything wrong, and he's the owner of the team, so he can say whatever the hell he wants. But as a fan, I don't care. He loved Wiseman. How we doing?
Yeah, poor guy.
I mean, sure, poor guy, but also, like, not the number two pick in the draft. He's just not. I don't.
They were kind of stuck between a hard place and a rock in that draft.
I got that text from a buddy over the weekend also. Reference to a caller on Friday.
I'm working on a bit that has to do with that cliche and others. Hopefully it'll be ready this week.
You're working on a bit?
It's something I thought this morning.
What, you got a side project
funny
going on?
A little bit of comedy I'm working on, but a little bit of a riff.
I love the comedy. I know you do.
I'm going to set it up right later in the week. I don't want to burn it now, but I'm working on a little something.
I can't wait.
I'm workshopping it.
Okay.
But I'm with you as far as that goes. But
I don't want to hear owners assess players. Well, we think he's, I don't care what, you're the owner, great. And I love that you're so active and supportive and willing to spend. You're a great owner. But I don't care what an owner thinks of the X's and O's. I don't care.
It's funny you say that, because I'm contrasting that in my mind with Jed York. And if Jed York was coming out and saying, well, you know, player B or player C,
we think Trey Lance is a future star in this league,
people would, like, show up at his house with pitchforks and torches. But he has no chips. Joe Lacob has four. Mm-hmm. So there's a certain amount in my mind of, you know, not that he was picking all these players. A lot of these guys were here before he bought the team. But yep, Joe does get a little bit more of a leash to me.
For sure.
Because you got the four titles, you built the palace, and so, yeah, if you want to say Pods is a future all-star, you're entitled to that opinion. I don't agree with you, but...
Right. I buy what you're saying, and yes, you can feel it, you can say it, but there should be no gravitas to it. There should be no, well, I buy it because Joe said it. Joe said Pods is a future all-star. So, he knows because he's on the inside. He doesn't know.
Yeah.
He's a businessman.
Well, if Jerry West, rest in peace, would have said it, now you can look at that and go, okay.
Now we're cooking
with
gas.
This dude played in the association. Right. He's the logo for crying out loud.
Right, right.
That's, so I'm with you to that extent.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not Steve Kerr was put off by that or kind of it irks him a little bit, I get it.
Maybe not in the moment, but maybe now, because it looks like Brandon's, again, trying to prove something that he doesn't need to prove.
Perhaps. And I think that this is just, for me, garden variety sophomore slump, where now you're Pods, you show up on scouting reports, and if I'm scouting the Warriors and I'm thinking about stopping them defensively, I'm not worried too much about Pods beating me from three. That's my scouting report.
Yep.
And I look at the board, and I put all 12 players in the rotation up there, and I have a separate column of no need to guard, NNTG. The NNTG guys, there's about five
there's
of them.
There's a lot of it's half the team.
Right. So that, for me, becomes a bigger issue.
Except for they just acquired a need to guard guy.
Yep.
And I know the concept right now is we get, you know, there's just more days off here for the Warriors. They play again on Thursday. And the thought is that Dennis Schroeder will be in that game, and that means no more Pods. I don't know if that's what it actually means, but that's kind of what fans think right now. Mike Dunleavy addressed this to a certain degree earlier this morning, what the acquisition of Schroeder means for Brandon Pajamski.
I think this move for both him and Steph is something we view as additive and helps them. Brandon was really, really good last year, and I think part of it was having Steph and CP, two other handlers alongside him. And so I think this move enables Brandon and Steph to always be on the court with another handler, whether it's the two of them or Dennis and Brandon or Dennis and Steph. So I think it makes a lot of sense. And again, I think this is something that boosts and helps Brandon. So we feel good about it in that regard as well.
Okay. That's what Mike Dunleavy said about this situation. It boosts, it helps. It also means fewer minutes, right? I would think.
Well, what it means is fewer minutes for everybody because we're back to a 12 or 13 man rotation because you took an unplayable, physically damaged player and replaced him with an actual player.
Maybe we start cutting it down.
I don't know. I mean, they haven't really shown that. And now you go from D'Anthony Melton, DNP, due to a terrible knee injury, and you add in Dennis Schroeder, a guy who's going to command 25 minutes or so. And you realize only Steph is averaging more than 30 minutes a game. And Wiggins is at 29, and Draymond's at 29. So the whole thing right now is built on everybody's getting between 15 and 25 minutes.
I mean, they only played 10 last night. Yeah, Moody's still hurt.
Yeah.
Was Moody out?
He was in streets last night.
Moody was in streets, right? But they only played, I mean, I know some guys got in for Garbaggio time. You know, Pat Spencer got in for a minute. But essentially, 10 players played last night, and Pods only had 16 minutes, and that's before Schroeder showed up.
Yes, and that is the fewest minutes he's played since they took on the Spurs back in late November.
Yeah.
He had 8 straight games of at least 23 minutes before that, so maybe that is the situation. And I heard Austin in San Jose call the earlier show and say, G League. He said,
for Pods?
Pods to the G League.
Well,
and I mean, that's
an something. Interesting idea. I mean,
you would miss his glue guy stuff, but maybe he goes down there and works on his shot.
Like,
you know,
you can take, and sometimes it's like seen as a punishment. You can take dudes that have established themselves in the league and be like, you got something you need to work on, so go do it. The Giants did it with Camilo Duvall last year.
Good call.
Sent him to sack.
Yep.
Now, they were trying to send a message also.
True.
They weren't big on his behavior. I don't think Pods is misbehaving, but there's no shame in that. There's no shame in that.
Only maybe, if you take it as
maybe
shame.
Maybe there's a little bit of shame in that.
Well, it depends on how you take it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you got to, like, come on, man.
It helped Jordan Poole.
Yes. Yes. You got to, like, I don't know. If Steve Kerr is pounding on tables after games because Pods is, quote, not getting the message, well, if you're not getting the message, you got to keep upping the message. And that would represent that. Jack in the city wants to talk about trade ideas. Hey, Jack, thanks for calling Willard and Dibs. What's up?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious a trade needs to be done. These young guys have shown over the last few years to not be much more than role players. And, you know, when Steph and Dre are gone, what do we have? A bunch of role players that aren't going to be anywhere close to competing for a championship? Why don't we give Steph and Dre another shot? They've proven that they're worthy of it. And, you know, if we're bad when they're gone, so be it. We'll have a high draft pick rather than being a middling team. But, you know, the problem is getting the right trade done where you can actually be a contender, I think, is the hardest part.
Well, no doubt. So, Jack, thanks. Like, just to reiterate my point, I don't know. I'm like you, Dibs. I don't know if the deal's out there. I get it. It looks complicated. Jimmy Butler and LeBron James do not woo me the way those names would have a couple of years ago. So I get the complexity of it, and I don't want to, like, bet the farm and get no payoff and all of that. My general point is this. Without knowing what's available, I would be very, very open to the Warriors aggressively helping this current team if the right deal presents itself, because I don't think 2 years from now you really have anything. And I say that, I know it sounds offensive to Kuminga and Pods and others, but that's not how I mean it. Anybody in the NBA has a few good players. Washington has a few good players. Detroit has a few good players. And 2 years from now, the Warriors would have a few good players. And they too can win 17 games. So you're starting over. Whether you've got a few good players or whether there are guys who will be on that team who we've never even heard of yet because they're still in college or high school. Whatever. You're starting over. So I just don't think we're risking as much as you think we're risking with the idea of a mortgage for the now. That's all.
Yeah, I think that you're risking more than you think when you're talking about trading Jonathan Kuminga at 22 or, you know, Podzimski, Pekowski. He's a nice player. To me, that's less about, you know, giving up a big-time asset, but what you do have is a rotational player who makes almost nothing, and there's value in that. And Moses Moody is a guy whose contract kicks in next year, so there's value in him this year making just 5.8. I also look at this upcoming offseason where you're going to have Schroeder and Payton and Looney all come off the books, yep, and you're going to have a certain amount of room that you can work with in the free agent market. So it's not about make a trade by February or else forget it. You can ride this year out and try to do it this way with a 10-man, 11-man rotation and try again next year.
But hold up. Do you actually have that kind of room? Because what are you going to need to do with that money?
Potentially sign Kuminga.
There you go.
Or not.
So, like, you have to wrap that into the discussion. This isn't just as simple as, do you think Jonathan will be good in 2 years? This is also, like, how y'all feeling about $40 million? How y'all feeling about Jonathan taking all of the available cap space and more? Even though we all damn well sit here and admit he doesn't fit. I know
right
he's,
now.
Yeah, but
I mean, he fits okay right now. I won't say he doesn't fit. Jordan Poole didn't fit more than Jonathan Kuminga
really?
Doesn't fit. Yes.
No, see, I don't see it that way.
Jordan Poole to me was too much. I need it. Dribble, dribble, dribble. I'm going to score. Kuminga, I think, is growing into a player who is better at playing in the system. Now, I don't think he'll ever be as good as Draymond and Steph. I mean, yeah, that's unfair.
I don't know if it's just about playing within the system as much as it is Draymond and Jonathan Kuminga essentially need to be deployed in the same spot to really be at the height of their powers. And therefore, it's preventative for both. So it's not even just about the you know, like his talent or his skill set as much as it is what maximizes Jonathan Kuminga and the fact that that role is full here. And that's all. So that's what I mean when I say he doesn't fit. You know, like the now is Steph Curry. There's no way around that. That's this year and that's next year.
And Draymond Green.
Yeah. And so if Jonathan Kuminga, if there's a hard sort of wall that you need to penetrate for all those guys to function together at the height of their powers, well, then that means you're settling with this isn't going to go anywhere special for the remainder of Steph's career.
Well,
I think
you can make incremental moves to continue to get better, and in a 48-minute game where nobody's playing more than 30 other than Steph. So let's say that Draymond's playing about 30 and Kuminga's at about 26. Well, that's 56 minutes, which means there's only really 12 minutes of overlap. Can Draymond play 12 minutes at the five? Yeah, you can do that, and that's probably when you're at your best. So you can play Kuminga at the four with Draymond at the five in spots.
Limited minutes, though.
But that's honestly when you're at your best. And right now, Steve doesn't have a lot of faith in Trayce Jackson-Davis to play the five. He's not playing very often. Kevon is a matchup five, so Draymond's going to have to play five if you're going to be good at all this year.
Yeah, no, you have to, but you have to do it in spots. And so, I see these two things as working against one another. The Warriors are at their best when Draymond is at the five, but he can only play limited minutes there. And then in the very next sentence, we're like, we got to roll with Jonathan and see what he can do. It's information gathering time for Jonathan Kuminga. Well, not really, because the information you want comes at the expense of Draymond Green and his energy and his health and all of that. And so there just isn't enough time and space to make this all work together. I don't know, man. He's a good player. And he may have to stay because there may not be the right deal out there. But I am not losing sleep over losing Jonathan, because in 2 years you're starting over anyway. That's the way I see it. You can certainly weigh in on that. And in fact, changing your scheme to fit a player like the Warriors might need to do for Jonathan Kuminga, but they won't do it. You'll be interested to hear this, because apparently they are interested in doing it for someone. We'll tell you who. Let you hear that in a moment. 888-957-9570. Also, Doc Pandya is 18 minutes away, and we need to get to what Tom Pelissero said about Brock Purdy and his potential contract. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Also sponsored by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit their expert technicians to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and more. Safe holiday travel starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. That's BayAreaOilChange.com. It's Willard and Dibbs.
Goes behind the back, lob. Kuminga for the dunk right at the rim. A beautiful feed by Curry.
Bay Area, it's Jonathan Kuminga. You're listening to Wheeler and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. You know why, Dibs? I like your picks.
And now we know why Dibs wants Jonathan to stay long term.
Let's go, JK.
Yeah, well, you are coming off a dub.
Finally.
You got that Packer game on Sunday night.
Tonight, I'm going to be hot now.
You got it now. You got a little two-step tonight.
Yep.
You're not hitting the parlay. You're not hitting the parlay.
The odds are that I get one of the two. The question is, which one will be right and which one is wrong?
I will tell you this.
It's a great question.
It is a great question. I have already laid a wager on one game.
Okay.
I have not touched the other game, and I will not tell you which game,
yep,
nor which team. But you will know if I start celebrating and clapping.
And you will.
And chanting fade.
Yeah.
Once I hear your selections, which are coming up soon.
I'm 21 wins, 22 losses on the year, which puts me down 3.2 units with the standard juice added in.
I want to let you know, I checked with sources deep in the NBA community, and Dennis Schroeder also thinks that your picks stink.
There's no way.
No, I did. I checked with him, and he thinks your picks stink.
We actually need to get that recording, because I'm sensing there's got to be some sort of a German accent, and we've got...
Probably. I've never heard the guy talk.
We've got Kuminga and his great tone. We've got Guy Santos.
Yep.
Your picks a stink.
Bay Area, it's Guy Santos here. Hey, Dibs, your picks a stink.
It could be my favorite.
It's pretty good.
Although the Kevon one hurts the most, and you don't have to play it.
Bay Area, it's Kevon Looney. Hey, Dibs, your picks stink.
So strong.
Wow. I mean...
And I love him.
Sit down. You couldn't see it, but he gave you the too small after that.
Yeah. I mean, between he and GP2... Two of my most favorite Warriors,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, seriously. Anyway.
Yeah, Guru thinks your picks stink, too.
Well, the picks are in.
Anyway.
We'll share them later.
Can't wait to hear them. Does this bug you guys, though? Mr. Kuminga guy over there, and Grandy brought this to my attention. Does this bother you? Listen to what the guys said about Schroeder joining the team. First of all, this is post-game last night from Draymond Green and talking about Dennis Schroeder and fit.
I don't think he was necessarily brought here to fit. We play a certain style of basketball that he does not really play. And I don't think the goal is to get him to play the style of basketball that we play. We need someone that can do the things that he does. And so I'm looking forward to us adjusting to him. Not necessarily, he'll have to adjust to some things, and he's a pro. He understands that. But we have to adjust to him because he's bringing something that this team needs. And to just think or make him fall in line of what we do, we wasting our time and even bring him here. Because we need somebody that can do what we necessarily don't do.
Does that bother you at all?
Not really, no. Because I think about, and the example I'm going to give is not to give it to say that this player is that player, but when Kevin Durant came here,
you
adjusted what you did for Kevin Durant because he doesn't play the way that you play.
Sure, top five player in the league.
Correct. And, Kevin Durant is an automatic bucket, but you definitely changed the way you approach offense when he was on the floor. You did a lot less running around that you do now. And I think Schroeder's the same way, where he's a guy who's going to need the ball in his hands more. He's going to look to get his out of certain sets that are not necessarily what you normally run. So it doesn't bother me. It actually is an astute observation from Draymond Green.
Okay, same subject, Mike Dunleavy, earlier today.
The play style stuff, rotations, all that's on Steve. We've talked about it thoroughly, though, and I think he's open and aware to some of the strengths Dennis has and what he can bring to the table. It's no secret we need to improve offensively, and sometimes making some shifts in what you're doing and philosophically is the right way to go about things. So we'll see how that unfolds, but yeah, we know who Dennis is as a player. We know what we're acquiring, and in order to play to his strengths, we may have to shift some things.
Can we bring Grandy in? Grandy, does that bother you at all? Because you kind of said to me, like, well, you guys will adjust for Schroeder, but you won't adjust for Kuminga?
I mean, obviously it's different skill sets, and Schroeder's more of a ball handler and a creator and a distributor more so than Kuminga is. But what has hurt the Warriors the most recently, it's scoring the basketball in clutch times. It's lost them so many games. And I don't know, if you're a little less stubborn about the way that you play and you just give the ball to Kuminga and run pick and roll with Andrew Wiggins, that might work more than Stephen Curry trying to beat a triple team at the top of the key over and over.
Do you really think that it would? Do you? Like, just search that for me. I know that we're frustrated.
They have had terrible closing game stretches.
No question. But are you guys really in that camp? Let's just give Jonathan the ball. Let's ride.
You saw how they closed the game at home against Houston without Steph, without Draymond, led by Kuminga and Wiggins.
No doubt.
How did they close the game in Houston with Steph and with Draymond?
It's a fair rebuttal. But if I ask you that, are you guys, Dibs, are you confident that Jonathan Kuminga, here's the ball, dude, and he's a bucket getter late in basketball games?
Well, he can be. And I think the counter to that is, if you're not going to do that, if you're not going to give him the ball and let him cook, so to speak, then what good is he out there on the floor? Because he's not a great post-up catch-and-shoot corner three-point shooter or above the break, as Tim Roy so eloquently always says. So if you're not going to use Kuminga in that way, then why bother having him out there?
Well, okay, let's go there for a second. Let's say, all right, let's do that. Well, then this will sound so ridiculous the first time you hear it, but I kind of believe this. If you're going to do that, then what good is having Steph out there?
Because Steph is a guy that is going to run screen and roll with Draymond. And Steve Kerr actually said that to us last week when we had him on in his weekly spot. That is always going to be their best play. They've been doing it for more than 10 years.
I think what's being proposed, though, is not doing that and running it through Jonathan Kuminga. And my argument would be is when you give the ball to Jonathan Kuminga, it kind of ends there. He's not a good passer. He's not going to break people down and find Steph Curry in the corner for a three. You're not going to do that.
Right. You can do both. And what I think I hear well, every trip down the floor doesn't have to be the same thing. And what I'm hearing Grandy say is kind of what I'm seeing late in games, and this is what I asked Steve last week, is it seems like under 4 minutes, what they do is Draymond screen for Steph. If they double Steph, pass back to Draymond, Draymond create, Steph runs around, let's try to get it back to him. It seems like that's all they do. If you have Kuminga out there, maybe one trip you do that, screen and roll, Steph and Draymond. One trip it's isolate Kuminga and let him try to cook. And I think that Schroeder is, from a usage standpoint, more like Kuminga than he is Steph. He's kind of a combination because he can pass and create. And I don't think Kuminga at this point in his career, to your statement, he's not quite that player yet where if you ran a screen roll for him and he comes off the screen, he's going to look to get downhill. He's not going to look to get in the paint and maybe kick it out and find somebody.
He's going
to
shoot the thing whether it's there or not.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, that's not...
Well, I think that there's value...
That's not great offense in the NBA.
But there's value in that because he can get to the rim and get to the foul line.
Mm-hmm. And what's the problem with that?
Well, he hasn't made it at a high rate. But the other thing is what you're doing in the end of games right now is screen for Steph and teams are just trapping him. And so he's either got to shoot a 30-footer contested... Or you give it up, and then now you're left with what?
Yeah, I don't argue that. I don't argue that what they're doing is working. I'm certainly not going to argue that. It's not. But I, you know, the acquisition of Dennis Schroeder to me is more about that and having another ball handler and another scorer and another person who can both knock down a shot but also create one for someone else. You know, like I don't know, man. This the Kuminga thought again. It's nothing against the skill set. I don't think that that's winning basketball, even if it's being done at the highest of levels. Like, talk about what you guys are saying about Jonathan Kuminga and what you wish the Warriors would let him do is basically James Harden basketball. And there are a few others around the league doing it. And what they don't do is win. They don't win. It doesn't work.
Well, you're talking about a whole game of that. I think that there are spots and there are times when you can... You know, if your closing lineup is Steph and Draymond and Wiggins, because Wiggins has been really good, and then you can put in either Buddy Hield or Slow-Mo, depending on the matchup, and then you have Kuminga, I do think that there's space for Kuminga to, at times, on possessions, get the ball and attack, depending on who is guarding him. What I'm seeing too much is just the garden variety, high screen for Steph, and, you know, it either works or it doesn't work, and... If Steph gets double-teamed, which defensively, that makes the most sense. If you've got other non-scorers on the floor, just get it out of his hand.
I mean, take a look at last night, right? If you put the ball in Luka Doncic's hand, right? What happens if the Warriors run at him, like really run at him and double-team him? What happens?
He's going to find the open player.
Right, start spinning it around, and what happens? It's three-pointer over there, three-pointer over there, three-pointer shooter, three-point shooter over there, and a big guy in the middle. But the Warriors don't do that.
Because they don't have that.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. So what do they need to do? They got to go get that. This is, to me, and that's why I fall back on it doesn't fit. And I hope repeatedly that that doesn't sound like me saying Jonathan Kuminga is not a good basketball player or even that we know exactly who he's going to be someday. But I just don't see how it's okay to ask Steph to do this. You're 6'2", you're going to get into a pick and roll up high, and you're going to come off, you're going to get double teamed, you're the tiniest guy on the floor, but you're Steph, so if you do have two trees in your face, you're either going to get around them at least enough to create openings on the floor for others, and who's waiting for you? It's Pods and Kuminga. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's more slashing players who are not good at knocking down a three. You can, to me, don't get mad at Steph or Kuminga. Get mad at the way the game has evolved. Like that's what Oklahoma City's doing. It's what Minnesota is doing. It's what Dallas is doing. The Warriors do not have enough 3-point shooting and spacing. And so we can bang our head against the wall and continue to get more information on Jonathan Kuminga all we want. But These three players who are at the core of the Warriors right now, it's just puzzle pieces that don't fit, if you ask me.
But I think they do fit, and they fit at certain times and in certain situations, and I would like to see the offense be a little bit more diverse when we get down late in games. And, you know, Steve told us last week that that is their best play, and it's worked for the better part of 10 years, and I get that, but I do think that there's space for other things, whether it's Wiggins attacking or Kuminga attacking, putting the defense into different spots other than the same old high screen and roll.
Morning Roast Doobie Awards coming Friday this week, okay? Laughing Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale, 6 to 10 a.m. Food and drink provided. Handing out awards, including the coveted Roaster of the Year. Bonte and Shasky will be wearing tuxes. I think it's very funny that that is on the list of, like, these are the three reasons why you should listen and go. Bonte and Joe will be dressed up.
I wonder if they
own
their own tuxedos or if these are going to be rentals.
I would think lesser of them if they do own their own tuxedos.
Lesser?
Yes.
Oh, I would think greater.
Rent that sucker. What are
you
doing?
Gonna own that thing.
You're a radio person. What are you doing with a tux?
Shasky and Bonte are both men about town who it would benefit. And if you have a tux that you own and you can still fit into it, it's a lot cheaper than having to rent one for $1.25, $1.50 a pop.
That's a big old if right there.
I used to work at a tux shop, so I had actually a couple of tuxedos.
You have done too many things. Do you know that?
Someday on a slower sports news day, I will share some of my stories
This is why you're 56 and there are certain sentences that come out of your mouth that sound like you're 88 years old.
I worked in a tuck shop in Northridge in 91 and there's some stories there now. Some for air and some not for air. I'll share down the road.
Because in the back of a tuck shop, that's where it goes down, brother.
Dude, you have no idea what goes down in the warehouse.
That's true.
Warehouse manager.
Details, if you want to RSVP, 957thegame.com. You're listening to 957 The Game. KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Twitch and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer.